That's John Latimer. I'm Heidi Holton. It is the Tuesday morning show. Thanks so much for tuning in. We're excited to bring you Phenology that's coming up next. If you miss it, you can catch it at our website or sign up for the podcast at kaxe.org.
So, Heidi, about Phenology, I've had to kind of scramble, and I'm down in Minneapolis, so I don't know just how much of a quality program I'll be able to give you today.
Okay.
So just a disclaimer at the start.
I think you'll pull through. It should be fine.
I'll do my very best.
That's right. Hey, next week we're hoping to feature the new exhibit at the McCroskey Art Center. There'll be a artist talk, I believe, next Wednesday night, and we're hoping to get John Zazada in. John Latimer, have you had it time to stop by the McCroskey and see that exhibit of the trees?
I dashed in there for a real short visit the other day before I moved down here to the city for the weekend. But I need to go back, and I mean, I had like a half an hour to just kind of run through the place, but
it's
that's not enough time.
No. Fantastic. How do you put words to that? What's there?
Wow. It is astonishing. It really is. It's a graduate level course on five different species of trees that grow here in northern Minnesota. And it really will open your eyes to the way the forest is used, where the forest is going, and what we can expect in the future from our forests. So interesting stuff.
Yeah, that exhibit is going to be up until mid-November, so you still have time to see it. But it is one of those, I don't know, when you head into museums, and even if you have an hour or so, it's not quite enough time. So, you know, make a couple of marks on your calendar to get there to take a look at that. There's so many cool things going on when it comes to art around our region. Tonight, there is a conversation about a new publication. It's the Fond du Lac Tribal and Community College hosts a virtual event celebrating the release of Bringing Joy, a Local Literary Welcome. It's an anthology of writing and inspired by the United States Poet Laureate Joy Harjo. The ebook features work by local writers, and that's at 7 tonight, free and open to the public. And then the Poet Laureate will have a virtual visit coming up on October 18th, hosted by the Fond du Lac Tribal Community College, the American Indian Community Housing Organization, and in partnership with the Oldenburg Arts and Cultural Community in Carlton, Minnesota. Call us if you need information on any of those events.
You know, Heidi, in thinking about the exhibit at the McCroskey in Grand Rapids, sometimes I resist going to museums because I'm not sure that I'm going to be interested in what they have to display. And sometimes it doesn't strike me as being something that I would like to do or participate in. But this one is, and I guess I'm speaking from the masculine perspective here, but this one is really, really interesting. So all you ladies who are listening out there, drag your husbands in there. They won't be sorry. They'll be well entertained. I don't know. There's something about, and I know that crafting with wood is not a male or female field. It is just a field. And I guess because I work with wood, I just have a real feeling of companionship. And it's always exciting for me to see what other people are doing who are experiencing the same things. Now, when I work with wood, it's with boards. And these people are working with wood in so many more different ways that it is really, really eye-opening. And I encourage everyone to go and visit that display. It's amazing.
It's called Every Tree Has Stories to Tell. You can find information and see some of that online at mccroskeyartcenter.org. Coming up, it's going to be Phenology. Thank you.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And boy, I'll tell you what, we are dragging our feet toward fall. if in dragging our feet, we're waiting for that first frost. And this is a particularly interesting year because tomorrow, the 13th, was the latest recorded first frost in the Grand Rapids area. And of course, frosts are sort of spotty and they can happen, you know, in your house, in your yard, and maybe not in your neighbor's. But this is a very late, late season for our first frost. I had 35 degrees a while back, sometime in late September, and I was convinced that we were about on average, but we're pushing the edge now, and we are lining up for what will be our latest frost ever if we make it through tomorrow without a frost. So be aware. If your tomato plants are like mine, you might even be thankful that we do get a frost when it happens, because it's getting hard to keep up with the tomatoes. We are eating them as fast as we can. We're passing them off to our neighbors who weren't growing tomatoes. We're canning, we are baking, we are just making use of all the tomatoes that we're getting, and they just keep coming, which is not a bad thing. Among the other things that I've been keeping track of this past week, insects have kind of caught my eye. If you are out and about, you may have seen any one of five large butterflies, actually six. The mourning cloak butterfly has been flying about. That's the big black one, the one that looks, it's the size of a monarch. It's black with a cream-colored border. And there are many of them out flying this past week, and they are looking for a place to spend the winter. They will find a crack in a tree or a pile of lumber or some place where they can be dry. They don't have to be warm. They just have to be dry. And if they can stay dry through the winter, they will survive as adults. They'll freeze and they'll thaw out in the spring, and they'll begin to fly about in the spring. And so the last butterflies you see in the fall are the first butterflies you're going to see in the spring, because they are one and the same. Those mourning cloaks that you're going to see this week are going to be the same mourning cloaks that you'll see in late March, early April on a nice, warm, sunny day. They'll come out and start flying around. Besides the mourning cloak, there's the Compton's and Milbert's tortoiseshells. There's also the comma, the eastern comma, and I think the eastern is the gray, but there are a couple of comma butterflies that make up the five that overwinter as adults. The other butterfly you might see, and my friend and fellow phenologist from Akeley, Dallas Hudson, reported to me last Tuesday that he had seen clouded sulfurs. And if you have an alfalfa field near you, there are probably some clouded sulfurs out there. These are yellow butterflies. They're not as big as the others that we've talked about, but they're not so small that you're going to overlook them either. Their wingspan is probably, both wings open, maybe an inch and a half across. So they're noticeable, and they're yellow, and they are sulfurs. And most of them are probably clouded sulfurs, but there are quite a few different sulfurs, and if you're lucky and you get close enough to catch one, you may be able to discover that there are some other species of sulfur butterflies out there as well. The other thing that I've been seeing besides butterflies are the little meadowhawk dragonflies. And these are from anywhere from an inch to about an inch and a half long. And the males are red, the females are sort of gold colored, and there are four or five species of these, and some of them look so much alike that it's necessary to take a hand lens and examine their body parts closely in order to determine which one of the many red meadowhawk dragonflies they might be. But just, you know, if you're seeing dragonflies, it's pretty cool. And just looking at records for the dragonflies, I see that 2012, I saw a meadowhawk on the 16th of November, which is the latest ever. I have two other November dates, and then a lot of October dates, generally around the middle to the latter half of the month. So there are still some days in which to see a few of these dragonflies, and they'll be out and moving about on the next sunny day. You can be assured of that. Looking at the trees in the area and the undergrowth in the area, the hazelbrush have finally dropped all of their leaves. I had that about a week ago, and that really opened up the underbrush so that, well, for you grouse hunters, you finally can actually see the bird from the time it flushes until much later than you would have when all those leaves were up. So those hazels dropping their leaves have really opened up the understory, but in doing so, they have exposed several interesting, what I call, surprises. One of them, which is pretty easily observed, is the deep burgundy of the downy arrowwood. Its leaves are still on the plants, and they're deep, deep red. They are, if you go up and examine the leaf, you'll see that it's quite heavily toothed along the edge of the leaf. And if you feel it, you'll understand why it's called downy arrowwood, because it's kind of got a soft, silky feel to it. So the downy arrowwood is one of the surprises, easy to see right now. You should, if you're driving along and looking out your car window at the ditch, there's probably some as you're driving along. There's probably some right there, deeply purple, burgundy colored leaves. And arrowwood, the name arrowwood, comes from the fact that the stem of the plant tends to be the same diameter for long distances. So it's not thicker at the bottom and thinner at the top. It's about the same diameter bottom and top. And so if you were looking for an arrow, a shaft for an arrow, this one would require a lot less machining than, say, one that maybe came from a hazel brush or something like that, which would be thicker at the bottom and thinner at the top. So downy arrowwood, bright burgundy right now, pretty easy to find. Among the other surprises, and these are not nearly as, well, I guess they're all kind of a treat, the red maples. There are still some red maples out there that have remarkable color. Around my house, most of my maples are done, but here and there, there are some maples that are orange or yellow or bright red even. And as you're driving along, you may see a few of those that are just not ready to throw their last leaves down to the ground yet. So watch for the red maples, watch for the downy arrowwood. And finally, as I was driving along the other day, I just happened to glance into the woods. And now that the hazel had dropped its leaves and you could see into the woods a little ways, I was startled to see a nearly perfectly green frond of an interrupted fern. And most of the interrupted ferns are well beyond green. They're yellow or brown. But this one, I don't know, just in the right spot and hadn't got the message yet. A bright green frond. So as the leaves fall off of some of the underbrush, let your eye wander a little bit. You'll find some surprises, and maybe not the ones I've listed, but some that will surprise you, and then you can tell us about them as you go along. Speaking of like aspens, the trembling aspens are turning yellow, most of them. I have a cohort of aspens, one of which contains an eagle's nest, and there are seven or eight of these fairly large, I would say 15 inch diameter aspen stems that are still as green as a green pepper. They have no yellow on them at all. And this has been over the years. this has been kind of a common occurrence. These plants are related. They're a clone of each other. So they are just one plant, basically, with six or seven stems. And they turn green later in the spring. They're late to leaf out. They're late to lose their leaves. They're late to change their color. They just have this different phenology. And that is true of all the aspens. They all have a little bit different phenology, and a lot of them are clones. And so what you see are patches of aspens that behave the same. They behave as one. And if you're checking those out, you will maybe come across a nice green patch of aspens, as well as lots of yellow aspen leaves and lots of leaves falling from the aspens. The cousin of the trembling aspen, the big tooth aspen, is startling this year. There are some years when they just turn yellow and they drop, but almost every big tooth aspen I've looked at this year has had some red in it. Some are remarkably red. Others are blaze orange. Others are just simply orange. But there is a lot of the red color, the anthocyanins, in the big tooth aspen this year, and they are just showing off. I tell you, it's a joy to drive anywhere in northern Minnesota today and look at those amazing big tooth aspens out there. For those of you who are anxious for fall to be done and move on to winter, well, the basswoods are bare, the mountain ash are bare. There's a horse chestnut that I frequently keep tabs on along the river road that is bare. It's happening. As I mentioned, the aspens, the hazelbrush, all of that stuff are losing their leaves, and the change is coming. So it won't be long, and we'll be skating on those lakes out there instead of dipping our canoe paddles in them. That's our phenology show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. As always, if you have comments, questions, or observations, please send them along. We'd love to hear from you. Thank you.